Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90 exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Chris and Amy show on 104.1 FM KMOX. You can also tell your smart speaker at home to play KMOX, and it will do it because, one, you're the boss. Two, you paid for it. And three, because it knows what's good for you. So do that. And smart speaker, yeah. You can also say, play Chris and Amy show, and it will give you one of our podcasts. So I think
just
that's
a random
cool
one?
I think it's the most recent uploaded one.
That would make the most sense.
Yeah, but it's best to just get the Odyssey app and then scroll through and look for the segments you want to listen to or the full shows.
Yeah,
right?
And then you can also, while you're on the Odyssey app, say, oh, there's that microphone icon. I should tap that and leave a message for Chris and Amy.
Dude, it is so easy. It's so easy to do that. Look, I'm going to look at it right now. Yeah, right here. There's a little button that says send a voice message.
Mm-hmm. You just kind of...
Yeah, I mean, you tap it.
Yep.
And you're like, hey, I'm sending a message now. And then we'll get it. We'll play it. And we asked you a very specific question. It is day 100 for the Trump presidency. This is term number two, as you know. And this is just, it's always been sort of considered the first big milestone in a term of a presidency. You know, the first 100 days, what's happened, how do you feel? And we know the polling numbers for him right now in terms of approval are historically low. Things have really gotten bad over the last month or so. A lot of it is because of the tariff policy. There are a lot of people that don't like the way he is. He's actually pulling off some of this immigration and deportation stuff, though. A lot of people are in favor of deportations overall. They're not necessarily in favor with the way they're being done. I don't think a lot of people are in favor of the way DOGE has sort of come in and just taken a wrecking ball to programs that might need some tweaking, but by and large did a lot of good for a lot of different people. So there are reasons for it. And we want to know from you how you feel. You're listening to this show right now. Maybe you love everything he's doing. Maybe you're getting exactly what you want. And we've gotten a couple of voice messages. In fact, Sue is one of those who's reached out.
If anyone seems to think the first 100 days of this administration have been going well, they haven't been paying attention.
Yep. Thank you, Sue, for the voicemail. Well, and I think a lot of people are paying attention, as Ranj mentioned, and aren't happy because the 39% approval rating of Donald Trump is less than his first term, and it is historically low. Did you say it was the lowest approval rating after 100 days?
It's
I'm going back to Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and it's the lowest.
Yeah, it's in the modern era is what they're considering it. Yeah. And it does rival his first term, but this one is historically bad. And the numbers are the numbers, and it's not just, you know, it's not all liberal media. I mean, Fox News has done polling too, and it's shown that he's He's having a difficult time right now. And yes. It's kind of across the board.
The 39%, just as a heads up, is the Gallup poll.
Yeah. Yep. Also, Ernest is watching on YouTube and says...
Ernest T. Bass.
He says his name is Ernest T.
Which
Bass.
Which leads me to believe this is not...
It's his moniker.
Ernest doesn't want to use his real name. Ernest T. Bass does not want to use his real name.
Put your real name behind it, Ernest. I feel 100% more confident for this country with this administration in place compared to the mess we had the last 4 years and what we might have had. Thank goodness it didn't go that way. That's one way to look at it. I don't agree with that personally. I don't think the last 4 years was an absolute disaster. I think there were things that could have been done better for sure.
As someone who
I just
really
don't think it was disastrous.
Really disliked Joe Biden, and I think Joe Biden was evil. I mean, I'm just saying, this is me, right? This is an opinion show. The last 4 years were not disastrous. There were disastrous moments, the withdrawal from Afghanistan being one of them, but they were not
but you think he's evil?
Disaster. No, I think Jill was. I think for Jill.
Jill was evil?
Yes. He was so compromised. There is no person that I love that I would allow to be in that position. You said you disagreed with Ernest T. Bass. J.D. says, I mean, one has to wonder which J.D. it is. J.D. watching on the stream says, amen, Ernest T. Charlie says, well, just wait until tariff impacts show up.
Yeah.
You think that's J.D. Vance?
Yeah, it's totally J.D. Vance. He's watching us on YouTube right now. Hey,
he
J.D.,
says,
why'd you kill the Pope?
R.I.P. Pope.
Yeah, why did you kill the Pope? He did not do anything. Let's get to a phone call. Rick is with us in Kirkwood. Hi, Rick.
Hey. Guys, I just, you know, as much as we may not be happy about what Mr. Trump is doing, we have to remember the path that our federal spending was on is not sustainable. And talk about disaster. We were headed and still are headed to disaster with our spending. It's got to stop.
Well, yeah, no one's going to disagree with you on the spending and we can get a handle on it, but DOGE is not really accomplishing that in the way people think. Like it sounds good if you tell somebody, hey, government's got to cut spending. So they're going in and they're going to slash, all these different programs that we don't really need until you sit down and take a look at the programs and the people who are getting fired, who are losing their jobs, who were kind of necessary, and the programs that were kind of necessary.
Well, we've had, and like I said, the cuts that are being made are not going to make a difference on the $2 trillion of debt. And we had a listener say, well, you can't let perfect, be the enemy of progress here. And I get it. But what you have to understand is DOGE and Donald Trump are making promises about cutting waste, fraud, and abuse as if it will erase our almost $2 trillion deficit. And here's what I can tell you. If you got rid of all the waste, fraud, and abuse, it wouldn't erase the $2 trillion deficit. It wouldn't even come close. If you fired every single federal worker, every single one, DOGE just said, that's it, the federal government, every single worker is gone, you would still be $1.4 trillion of deficit.
Yeah.
And so cutting the Meals on Wheels funding, cutting the funding to the Holocaust Museum, or the seasonal workers who pick up trash in the national parks is not even a drop in the bucket of the deficit. Now, again, I'm not saying we should do this, but the spending is all entitlement spending, Medicare, Medicaid, and military.
Call those benefits that people earned because they paid into it. I don't like the word entitlement.
I know you don't. It's a legal word for it. So
yeah, but it's more of a benefit that people have actually put their money into.
Well, I'm just using the legal term for it. And the reason why I say that is that that's what it's called in congressional spending. So until you look at that, you can or you can't. But what I'm saying is the deficit's not going to change. DOGE cuts are not going to change the deficit. If there is some fraud and abuse and waste, which there always is, absolutely let's address it. But don't lie about what you're going to affect by getting rid of the fraud and waste that you see.
This text message says that Donald Trump is doing an epic job digging us out of a four-year train wreck of the Biden administration. He is doing exactly what the people of this country asked for. Amazing 100 days. That is certainly one opinion.
But I would love a detail, though. Honest to goodness, if you want to text in some details on that.
Yeah, what's amazing about it? And how specifically did he dig us out of a four-year disaster? And the reason I say that we were not in a disaster under the current or the former administration, everybody complained about the economy and how high prices were and this, that, and the other thing. They're still high, but they were high around the world post-pandemic. And we were objectively in a better place than every other developed country in the world. We were. And I'm not saying it was all Joe Biden and what he did, because it wasn't. But you can. It's not truthful to say that we were in this disastrous era. Yeah, there were mistakes for sure. But you have to compare in context what we were doing and how we came out of a pandemic that shut down the globe. And we did very well compared to everybody else. And I just don't think a lot of people are really taking that into account. This text message here says, just like his first term where he told everyone he was going to fix the healthcare system, he was going to fix the border problem, he did not push to pass any of that legislation. The legislation he passed was the tax cut on billionaires. So that is from another texter. We have a voice message from Mo.
I'm not so sure that Sleepy Joe did any less in his first 100 days, but he didn't have to tweet every time he took a crap.
Okay. I love to tweet in the office. It is an oval.
It is.
That's really true. That's not very nice.
Well, yeah, I mean, it seems like we're getting from both sides people who are very supportive, those who are not supportive. I do think the 39% approval rating, which is historically low, it's in some ways it's easy to explain when you use the old adage, it's the economy, stupid. You know, that's famous, right? That's a famous phrase. It's been in politics for decades and decades. It's
the James economy, Carville stupid thing.
Yeah. And it kind of is. It is. And Trump's approach to the economy is unpredictable, you could say, at best, but also very predictable in the sense that he's doing a lot of or exactly what he said. The thing is, before the election, I had a couple people come up to me and say, Amy, I like you, you know, but don't understand why you don't like Trump more. And one of the things we talked about, different policies, they're very good conversations. I brought up the tariffs and one person said, oh, he's not going to do the tariffs. That's the art of the deal. You make a big outlandish claim and then you don't really go through with it. Well, then all of a sudden he was really going through with it. And we saw the economy in turmoil. And when everything started tanking, he started to back off a little bit. But it can't look like backing off because he's not a guy that backs down. And so then he started making carve-outs and some exceptions and then pushing it back a 100 days. And the thing is, now nobody knows what's real and what's not real. And it's not resulting in better deals for the U.S., which, by the way, the deal that he hates so much is his own deal, the USMCA.
From 2018,
He did that. He replaced NAFTA with that. And so he has only himself to blame if he thinks that we're being misused by Canada. But he also doesn't understand trade deficits. And I think the reason why this tariff talk is going the way it is, and he's only backing off when the economy is on the precipice of falling off a cliff, is because he thinks that trade deficits are bad. And they're not bad. We're getting something for the trade. What is Madagascar if we get like bananas? Or coffee, whatever it is.
Vanilla.
Yeah. Madagascar vanilla. A struggling and economically weak African country is never going to buy as much American goods as we buy from them. And that's okay.
Dan is watching on Facebook and says, these are the same pollsters that had lousy presidential candidate Harris winning the election. ABC hates President Trump, and their polls want to convince people he is President Trump is tanking. However, that's not reality. I don't know if Dan understands how polls work, but they don't like a pre-election poll is a snapshot of how people are feeling. It doesn't necessarily predict the winner. There's a margin of error there. It's not the same as how are people feeling about the way things are going now. And I don't think anybody ever said Harris was absolutely going to win. I mean, there were those polls were back and forth leading up to the election for a couple of months. So I'm not sure Dan really quite gets how the polls work, but we do appreciate the message anyway. So continue to tell us how you feel. 314-436-7900. Annie Fry is expected to join the show. She is going to join us at 11:30. Annie from 97.1. And she was at the White House and was in the press pool. And I don't know if she got to ask a question, but we will talk to her about it and find out if she did. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What are you trying to do? What is this?
This is Heather Zare's favorite rainy day song.
Okay.
By the Carpenters.
Well.
I like feel like I'm looking at the window watching my 401k plummet.
Well, I wasn't going to retire anyway, but at least I have Karen Carpenter.
This is like the Kermit the Frog drinking Lipton tea on a rainy day meme. That's what I'm picturing. Matt gets it.
Was Karen Carpenter, was it her husband or her brother?
Brother, sicko.
What?
They were siblings.
Why is that a, why does that make me a sicko? I don't like...
Everybody knows that.
Everybody knows that, you weirdo.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Oh, do they really? Do they really?
So.
Everybody know who was the, what was the other carpenter's name?
Rich,
was it?
Yes.
Wait, then how there come was only a third carpenter?
No,
it's just two of them.
It was Rich and Karen.
Oh,
it was Rich. Are
Rich
you sure?
And, Rich and yeah, Karen Richard. Sounds like half of my parents.
Did you know that the other
up.
Carpenter was Rich? Everybody knows Karen Carpenter. Did you know that the
no.
the other per
the
exactly.
other carpenter is like the other guy in Wham. Everyone knows George Michael.
Yeah, who's the other guy in Wham?
Andrew.
I don't even know if that's true.
I think it's Andrew McCulloch.
Hey,
something
you know,
like that.
You know Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote the very famous and hugely popular Hamilton.
I do.
Which I went and saw. It's very good. I liked it. Well, he's working on a new project, and he was talking to an influencer who was interviewing him at some sort of, I don't know, it was an event, and he was on the red carpet. Her name is Jennifer Mercedes. And here is what he says he's working on.
I know you don't love giving up that many goals, but we're...
That's not it.
That's Connor Hellebuck.
It is absolutely... This system sucks so bad.
I'll here. Tell you something I'm working on, which is the Molina brothers, who are from my dad's hometown of Vega Alta, Puerto Rico. Vega Alta is home to, like, an appalling number of Major League Baseball players, not just the Molina brothers, Bernie Williams. It's really incredible. So to be able to honor that in a movie is something we're really actively trying to do.
Like some of the greatest athletes, Yadier Molina, one of the greatest catchers.
Yeah, we claim them. We claim them for Vega Alta.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Lin-Manuel's going to work on is working on a documentary about the Molinas.
That is, I love every ounce of that. I also, my brain filled in the blanks. The Molina brothers who are from, I'm like, St. Louis, obviously, the Cardinals.
Well, no.
I know it's just Yachty, but that's how I felt. I felt like, but he's us. He's St. Louis. We would rename St. Louis for Yadier Molina. He could walk in
and be the
king of the city. He could. He could be the king of the city more than any other athlete.
Okay. He played here for almost 20 years.
Yeah.
You know? That's a long, long baseball career.
He also
spent his entire time here.
Has just a cool vibe. Where I like 90% love him and 10% I'm afraid of him.
We need to talk to Benji about this. Because I'm assuming the documentary is about, you got these three brothers who all ended up in the big leagues, all played the same position and did it pretty well.
I'm going to ask Annie Fry if I can't get over this Rich Carpenter. I've never heard of that.
You're going to ask Annie Fry about Rich Carpenter?
Yes. If she knows.
Okay.
I mean, I don't want to waste her time. Maybe I'll ask her when she gets back home.
We were talking about the Molinas. How do we get back on the Carpenters?
Because I can't get over this.
You need to move on.
I can't. That's going to be so much fun about the Molinas, though, too. I mean, there's so much information that we just talked about.
No, but tell us more about the Carpenters. What are you talking about? Talk about the Yadier Molina
That's
and his brothers.
That's going to be amazing, too.
Oh, my God, this
All
lady.
Of this show is amazing.
Let's
There's
talk
so
to Annie Fry. Annie
about.
Fry joins us next on KMOX. Amy Marks, Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX, and it is time to go to the guest line this morning. We welcome in the host of the Annie Fry Show on 97.1, our sister station here in the building. And it is a fellow FM sister now, because we're on 104.1
FM. FM sister.
You're an FM sister, Annie Fry.
It's about time, really.
Yeah, right?
Thanks for having me, guys.
How's it going over there? So right now you're in Congressman Bost's office, yeah?
Yes. Yep, I'm sitting here. He had to go to a meeting, so he just took me. Congressman Bost is an Illinois House representative who is on... He said he has a third of the landmass of Illinois in his district. But a lot
district.
Of the people are right here.
Wow.
A lot of people here in the listening audience for KMOX, of course, are in his district. And he's also the chair of the Veterans Affairs Committee. So he just gave me a tour of where the committee meets. And I got to see the balcony that they're connected to that looks out into the Capitol. So a lot of like tangible things that I'm getting to see and feel. But he had to go to some meetings. He said, why don't you use my office to do some of these media hits? So I'm excited to be here with you guys.
Excellent. Well, can you walk us through exactly what you are doing at the White House? Because I think talking to people, they're like, well, wait a minute. Wait, why does she get...
What are you doing there,
how
Annie?
How did you get to go to the press pool? Yeah, well, how did this... What are you doing? How are you there?
Have you been talking to Ryan Wiggins on my show? That would make sense. You phrase that exactly how Ryan Wiggins would say that at the water cooler. We have a good relationship on our show with Will Scharf, and your listeners likely know that Will Scharf was an Eastern District prosecutor in the state of Missouri, who then ran for attorney general, who then, as he was doing all of that, he got picked up as one of Donald Trump's key lawyers in the New York case. And then when the president won his reelection, the guy who narrates the executive orders right before the president hands them, that's Will Scharf, if people are unfamiliar with who I'm talking about. So he's made his way into the Oval Office, and our producer worked with him to get us the access for me to come here for a couple of days and, you know, see it from a different angle. What you guys and what we do on 97.1 on my show specifically, every day you cover this stuff, you react to this stuff, but to be here and to see, you know, all the movement, it's the energy is frenetic, and it's pretty cool to see it up close. And I've got to speak to a lot of people. And today, I'm spending it over here on Capitol Hill, talking to some Missouri and Illinois folks about what they're working on. The 100th day, of course, today's the 100th day of the Trump administration. And a lot of people would say that the honeymoon is over after 100 days. And we're just talking to people who are in the thick of it to figure out how they feel about it.
So were you in the press room with Caroline Leavitt, the White House press secretary, when the reporters were asking questions?
Yes. Yesterday I was there for the press briefing in the morning, 7:30 Central Time. And yesterday, since it's the 100 days week, they're basically focusing the press briefings on particular areas of interest, because yesterday they brought Tom Homan, who is the border czar, into the press conference. And he had some words prepared, and then the press was able to ask both Carolyn Leavitt, the press secretary, and Tom Homan questions. And I was there, and I was raising my hand, and I didn't get to ask a question, which was fine. But
yeah,
I was prepared.
You had a question ready just in case. Yeah.
I had three questions ready just in case. And they were all, you know, they were really the questions that I was going to ask were centered around some of the words from my governor, because I live across the river in the state of Illinois. J.B. Pritzker said some pretty inflammatory things, not that we don't live in a bipartisanly inflammatory time, said some inflammatory things over the weekend and saying, you know, don't let the people on the other side of the aisle, the Republicans, rest, and they're going to fight until the next election and make them pay at the ballot box. And so he said some things that were very inflammatory is the best word that I can think of about pushing back against the Trump agenda. And I was going to ask Tom Homan and Caroline Leavitt alike if they feel like people in the state of Illinois with a governor who's not willing to participate in the immigration reform, the border security, the deportation process that ICE is implementing with the Illinois Trust Act. I was going to ask if they feel as though residents in the state of Illinois are less safe because their elected officials are not, in fact, enforcing and cooperating and partnering with the administration. So my plan, since I didn't get to ask in a press briefing, is to try to squeeze some time out of one of those two individuals, both who have been on my show before, to ask them that question on the Andy Frye Show.
So what is your how much longer are you there?
I'm here tonight, and then tomorrow I fly out early, and I should see you both probably at the top of the hour in the cafeteria restroom area where we meet each day in passing.
Well, not in the restroom.
I'll be back in tomorrow.
Dude,
to do
on,
the show.
Calm down.
Hey, I'm not
calm
here
down,
to judge
lady.
You, Ranji. You just yeah. do, you know. Amy and I are always having these nice conversations, and you always want to be a part of them, so.
Well. I know. I think he feels left out. He doesn't have a lot
of
friends.
Dude, I've been left out twice today.
He has. Okay.
Yeah, I know, right?
So we did talk about the 100 days, and obviously the polls have come out that Donald Trump's approval ratings are down. When you're in Washington, D.C., what is the response to that from our lawmakers?
Well, you know, I think that the polls, first and foremost, really got it wrong during the November election and the actual poll where the American people came out in a majority to elect the president, swept the swing states, far, far, far exceeded the closeness of what we were told by polls in November. I think a lot of people here, at least on the Republican side of the aisle, are not fazed by anything the polls are saying, especially because a lot of the polls don't agree. And there are some polls that say that the president understands that we need a transformational change in this country. And if you look at the polls, you know, there's one thing about is the president, like, what is the president's job approval? And if you say what's the president's job approval, but then you change president to what's Trump's job approval, that just charges people, you know, he can't do a better job or he couldn't do a worse job. Most people run to their corners on that. But if you ask, or if you look at the polls that talk about, do you believe the direction of the country is headed in the right way? There's a majority consensus there. And you can't look at what the Trump administration is doing, transformational change, really top to bottom in every nook and cranny that they can find the opportunity to do it, to make big, bold, and what I would consider to be courageous changes to put America's future, the future for my four kids, in a better position. And watching the president be unfazed by polls and I mean, I'm just to be honest, sitting in the press briefing room and being around media people, like I'm around media people every day, but the way that the media is looking for a story to shape it, you guys know what it's like to live life. You guys know when gas is too expensive and when it's getting to a place that's affordable for you. And it's different for every single person who's out there. We are all our own, you know, individual poll. And I think people are unhappy with the way Joe Biden took the country during his years. And I think that they are not fully satisfied with what Trump is doing, but they are hopeful. And what America needs is hope. And so as far as the polls go, I think that it might keep the Trump administration on their toes. Maybe they need to do a better job in messaging. But if they get the job done at the end of the day, a lot of Americans are going to be happy that they voted for him. And I don't see any regret so far.
Yeah, that could change very quickly. I guess we will find out, Annie. That's why we're having you on. A little differing of opinions on this one. But we appreciate
we can argue about that sometime.
Oh, yeah. We'll do it. I'll argue with you in the kitchen.
Well, no, it'd be fun to
in
have
the bathroom, like yeah.
in the bathroom.
Not going into the bathroom,
we're all
Annie.
Out in the bathroom, because I do have questions too.
Stop
about...
trying to get me in your bathroom. You guys are so obsessed with bathrooms.
Well, I know Annie has to go, but would love to talk more because I have questions of like maybe in principle. I like we talked about this yesterday. Like the what, I might have issues with the how, you know. And I think that's where you can actually have an adult conversation. You know,
yeah, you bet.
So would love to talk sometime.
And it's okay. It's okay at the end if we see things completely different. I think the important part for any people who are coming together, and I encourage families to understand this the most, don't lose your family over politics. But
yeah.
if you have the same goal in mind, the same end game in mind, and you disagree on how to get there, you can talk about that. But we need the same things, both sides of the aisle. We want the same things, we hope. And if the method changes one way or the other, the elections will reflect that over the course of time. But we live in a country where we get to have these disagreements. And I think that's an important, powerful thing. And I really appreciate the opportunity to speak to you guys here on FM radio
FM.
Once again with Kim Wick.
How's it yeah? feel? Pretty good, huh?
It's kind of like usual.
Yeah. And he's like, I'm not
exactly
coming on until they're FM.
You know what?
That's what it is.
In my contract. That's the only thing yeah. in my contract. I only do FM. No, I'd love to be on again, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys.
Thanks, Annie Fry.
Enjoy
have a
White
safe
House
trip home.
And the Capitol.
Quit disrupting. Right. You're being a disruptive presence over there.
See you in the bathroom, Ranji.
Dude, stop with the bathroom. Annie Fry, host of the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM. Just obsessed with bathrooms, y'all are. Obsessed.
You are the one that talked
she
about the bathroom.
She mentioned it. She said the kitchen and the bathroom area.
I think it was
area.
In passing.
Oh.
Each other.
I don't think I've ever gone by when she's out there. Why did she say that?
Don't all be right. nervous, Ronz. Everybody already knows you're a creeper. We do need to have
that's not true at all.
That's a good conversation. Not the creeper conversation, but that was good. Good conversation. More to ask and say.
Amy Marks Kors. Chris Ranji. Don't forget the Gas House Gang is coming up at 12 o'clock. Are you excited?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. You remember how I mentioned earlier
yes.
the news this morning that Amazon was going to place a tariff price increase
yeah.
on their goods, but they were going to list next to the price how much of that was going to tariffs. Just so you knew, like this
right.
is why the price has gone up.
It was a price breakdown, like the fees and surcharges on a hotel bill.
Which, who doesn't want to know why they're being charged extra? I think we all do. Forget who you voted for. I think we all would like to know where that money is going. The White House earlier today was not happy about that. They called it a political and hostile act to do that.
Hostile.
Hostile. Uh-huh. Jeff Stein from the Washington Post says that an Amazon statement released says the team that runs our ultra low cost Amazon haul store has considered listing import charges on certain products. This was never a consideration for the main Amazon site, and nothing has been implemented on any Amazon properties. It's also being reported that the president called Jeff Bezos today to complain about it. So
why is it a hostile act?
Because anytime you point, you know what? I don't want to get into this because I'm gonna be non-measured Ronj.
George is getting upset.
Ronj is getting upset. I'll tell you. You know what I'm going to tell you? I'm going to tell you why.
Great.
I'm going to tell you why it is. Because when a person does something that is unpopular
mm-hmm.
and there's an entity that points out that you're doing something unpopular to everybody else, that person doing the unpopular thing gets mad. Hey, don't tell everybody about the thing that I'm doing wrong. Don't tell people about all of this. That's why when you have a politician who gets angry at the press for, oh, these guys are fake news. Well, yeah, you don't like the fact they're reporting what you're doing because you'd rather operate in the shadows and have nobody ever criticize you ever. That's what's going on. Sorry, I got upset.
I forgive you.
But that's what it is. That's all it is. So
no.
Trump complained to Jeff Bezos and they pulled back on it. That's pretty much what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But it's still just not going to change the fact that your stuff's going to be more expensive now. You just and I think we all should know why things are more expensive. When things were more expensive when the last president was in office, I think it was a good exercise to understand why things were more expensive, like eggs, for example. Well, yeah, there was a bird flu problem, and then there was a supply chain issue, and then there was this, that, and the other thing. It's good to know why gas goes up and that we don't really control the price of gas. Mm-hmm. And that even though we are producing more oil than we ever have, or more crude oil than we ever have, it was still more expensive because we were exporting a lot of that oil. It wasn't being sold here in the country. It's good to know why things cost the way they are. Or if a company decided to raise prices during the pandemic and discovered, hey, people are going to pay this, so we're never bringing prices down. Because they're going to pay it. And then we can hide behind pandemic and we can hide behind supply chain issues.
So,
and blame it on somebody else when really it's our greed. We're just getting away with it.
Yes. So, I mean, there are a lot of aspects here. The Doge thing bothers me, not because I'm letting perfect be the enemy of good or perfect be the enemy of progress. I'm not. And I get it. There is waste, fraud, and abuse. And I would love to cut that out. What I don't like are false promises about the way the government's going to go about cutting out fraud, waste, and abuse, and how it is going to balance the budget and erase the deficit. It's just not true. As I mentioned, federal employees make up less than 4% of our federal budget. If you were to fire every single employee, the $1.8 trillion deficit, you'd still have over $1.4 trillion of deficit. That's if you fired every single federal employee, just erased the government. Every year, they come out with the Congressional Pig Book, you know, the pork barrel projects, waste, fraud, and abuse. In 2023, there was $220 billion in what they classified as fraudulent payment. That's a lot, sure. 74% were overpayments. 5% were underpayments. That's interesting. 19% unknown payments. So that's $44 billion in unknown payments. And yes, that's a lot. And I would love to cut that out and figure that out. But $44 billion is a drop in the bucket. If you got rid of all of that $220 billion in fraudulent unknown payments, you are still near $2 trillion of deficit. And that's what I don't like, are the false promises that, oh, it's the overpayments. That's why we're spending so much. No, it comes down to Medicare, Medicaid, military, all these different types of spending and discretionary and non-discretionary spending, right? You're looking at all of that. But those are, you know, I know you don't like the word, you can call them the earned entitlements, whatever you want to call it. They're called entitlements in congressional language and legislation.
Yeah, but the way the word is used is it's like, oh, these people think they're entitled to this thing, almost as if it's not earned, but it is. And I think we should just make it clear that these people have paid into this stuff.
Yes, I just don't know what else to call it when that's the word that's used
earned
in
benefit.
Legislation. Earned benefits. Unless you're looking at that. And which most people don't want to look at that, you're going to have something of a deficit. So don't make false promises about being able to eliminate waste as if the reason we have a deficit is because of waste. That's not it. I also, I am a broken record on this. Trade deficits with certain countries are not bad things because we're getting something for our money. In the same way that I'm in a trade deficit with Deerbergs, but it works out great because I'm not growing my own food. I don't have cattle. I give them money and they give me goods.
But here's
and that's
the thing.
A great thing.
They can say like, oh, we have a trade deficit with this country, so it's unfair. And if you're not really paying attention, you hear that and you go, oh, that's not good. Well, they shouldn't be taking advantage of us like that. It's until you sit down and think about what that really means. It doesn't mean like what it sounds like. What it means is, yeah, we are heavy consumers in this country mm-hmm. of all kinds of goods. We Americans buy a lot. We brag about how much we like to buy things.
We're consumers.
So this is a consumer-driven society, and it's always going to be unless something terrible happens. But that's why there are deficits, because we want things, so we buy them from the countries who make them. And I get the idea of, well, I just want all those things to be made here then. We should be making those products and then selling them to ourselves. That's great, and I agree with you to an extent, because then you also have to foot the cost for that. Because if we make everything here and we buy everything that we make here because we expect to make good wages when we work to make those products, it's going to cost the rest of us more. So we have to be in agreement. yes, we'll make everything here, but we also agree that we're going to pay more for everything,
and
too.
Because you want them
cheap. If that's what you want, great.
Yeah, and also we showed that poll where most Americans said, yes, we should have the factories here, but I don't want to work in
the
factory.
That's exactly what the polling says.
Because most Americans are not looking at factories in Vietnam and going, there's the American dream.
Right.
They're not saying, but the way we're approaching this is, well, we're going to have to bring all those factories here.
It doesn't even get into the automation conversation, which is completely different. Good show today. We'll come back tomorrow and do it at 9 o'clock. Amy Marks Kors, I'm Chris Ranji. I will stick around, however. Ali Marmol is going to join the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock. He's with us every Tuesday for the first half hour of the show. Bernie Miklas, Tom Ackerman, and me, Chris Ranji, with Ali, the manager of the Cardinals, next on the Gas House Gang.